This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey, this is High Pitch Eric. And when I have a vile, purulent, penile discharge, my go-to show is Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on Faction Talk 103, the Riotcast Network. Fluid. Sequestrations. Fuck P.A. John. Wacka wacka.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine wackos at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And she who will do most anything for a glass of expensive wine. It's the triumphant return of Lady Diagnosis.
Hello, Dr. Steve.
Hello, Lady Diagnosis. You look delightful today.
Oh, thank you.
Not that I'm supposed to notice. It's very unprofessional, but, you know.
It is radio.
It is radio.
You could be lying.
That's right. It's theater of the mind.
Yes.
This is a show for people who never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you got a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. If you're listening to us live, the number is 754-227-3647. That's 754
Bare Nip.
Thank you. It's my favorite. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine, at Lady Diagnosis, and at Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, very good. A couple of things. You don't have to – well, how much longer do – well, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Check out feels.com/fluid.
Hmm.
Feels.com is pharmaceutical-grade, broad-spectrum CBD.
Hmm.
And I've vetted them. I know that they what they say they're selling is what they're selling. At least, you know, I've seen the data. So you can get 50% off your first order if you order a subscription, which is a one, you know, you get a one-month supply, and then the next month they'll send you another one. You can cancel anytime. So you do it once, you don't like it, you just cancel, but you still get 50% off. So feels, feals.com/fluid. If you're going to do shopping online, go to stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com. And tweakedaudio.com, offer code fluid for the best earbuds. You get 33% off. Tweakedaudio.com, offer code fluid. If you want to lose weight with me, right now, get your ideal body weight. Lady Diagnosis can attest to my weight loss.
I've seen it.
Go to noom.drsteve.com. And I also, I lost 40 pounds, so I can confirm Dr. Steve's rule in my own, you know, anecdotal way that I have gained at least an inch of male membership by losing 40 pounds. And it's for every 35 pounds, you reclaim an inch.
There you go.
If you're lazy like me, go to freshly.drsteve.com. They deliver fresh prepared meals that make eating right super easy. I'm going to have my steak one tonight. You can use my link, which is freshly.drsteve.com, to get 6 dinners for $39 for 2 weeks. That's $20 off each week. Now, look, it's microwave food. It's for lazy people. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's fresh prepared, but it's microwave. It's never frozen.
Hmm.
And it looks like the size of the package of a Lean Cuisine, but it's twice as deep, so there's way more food in there.
So you don't have to chop and mix
and paste.
And,
no, I'm just so lazy. I mean, I loved Blue
Apron.
Well,
that's great.
I like Home Chef. I like all that stuff, and I do like to cook. But during the week,
people don't have time.
We do 3 days where we don't cook because we do this instead. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Freshly.drsteve.com. And the thing I want to talk to you about right now, and this will just take a second, is something we're going to have them on the show next week, TRIPP.com. Offer code Dr. Steve, and I can't remember if it's Dr. Steve or Doctor, if you got to spell it out. But what trip.com is something I need so bad in my life. So I've lost weight and I feel physically better, but mentally I'm a maniac. Mm-hmm. I'm late for everything these days because I need a secretary. I don't have one and I'm missing meetings. I'm late right now. We're late. Mm-hmm. My wife's already mad at me because I got to get the kids and we're sitting here doing this and I got to get them to get their hair cut like they, you know, because they can't get it cut any other day.
We got 19 minutes. Talk fast.
Right. So I'm going to have to. So,
yep.
So you know what I'm going to use tonight?
Meditation.
Meditation is awesome. But who's going to take the time?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
me.
Do it. Well,
it
you do
really does
because you do TM.
Yes.
Well, you know what I am doing is, and you can do TM with this if you already do it. Trip.com, Lady Diagnosis. I'm going to turn you on to it before the next time you come here, and you will immediately become a convert. I did this one time, and I immediately said I have to have this.
I'll give
so
it
they
a
have
shot.
A demo, and you can go on and do the demo for free. But you need virtual reality.
What's
this
that?
Is a virtual reality. Mindfulness meditation thing. And it's the most incredible. And the name trip.com is apropos. You find yourself in this world and you're floating above this endless sea and shooting stars are coming in, but not in a scary way, like killing the dinosaurs, in a very peaceful way and just sort of like sparks coming down and hitting the water. And then the narrator is talking to you now. We're going to learn a new breathing technique. This is 4-7-8. And you breathe in for 4, you hold it for 7, and you breathe out for 8. Now, when you're doing this, there are these little blue sparklies that go into your nose as you're breathing in. And then when you breathe out, they come out, they're sort of red, like they're red shifted. So they're blue shifted going in and red shifted going out and they're beautiful things. And then sometimes the things that you're looking at will just sort of turn into a mandala.
A mandala.
Yeah. And then it'll turn into a bunch of butterflies and stuff. And there's beautiful, soothing music that's scientifically designed to induce relaxation. So you're doing these breathing things. And then when you get done with your first breathing exercise, you start to rise.
Oh,
and you're rising above the world into this other thing. And then the last thing, often, you end up floating above Mother Earth. And the narrator will say, look down. Do you see any boundaries? Are there any borders? You know, we're all one, that kind of stuff. You know, it's really the coolest thing in the world.
So you just have to have, like, goggles and headphones?
Yeah, you can do it on your phone.
Okay.
You know, if you have the
Oculus
hookup to do 3D, to do virtual reality on your phone. But I use the Oculus Quest. It's all self-contained. You could take it. Anywhere where you have Wi-Fi and do it. And I don't know I'm going to find out tomorrow if you can download the lessons because they change every day.
Yeah.
They're very similar themed. But at the beginning, you rank how you feel. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling angry. I'm,
shitty.
Worried.
Right.
Shitty. Right. and then when you're done, you rank yourself and they can show you, your improvement over time, how your mood is changing and all kinds of stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It's so if you're interested in trying it before we have them on, go to trip.com and use offer code Dr. Steve, either Dr. Steve or spelled out Dr. Steve. I can't remember which. I'll know by next show.
Okay.
But I'm so excited to tell you guys about this because it has changed my evening routine significantly, and I have really have gotten a lot of benefit from it.
Cool.
So anyway.
You need it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I do. And it's,
keep
you know,
going.
It's 9 minutes or something. Well, you could do mm-hmm. as many of them as you want, mm-hmm. but each little mini meditation is 9 minutes. So it packs a lot into.
Ooh, I'm going to try that.
Oh, well, it's cool. Well, you can try
I hate
it.
That you that you have to have goggles, though.
Yeah. But yeah, right. But it is immersive yeah. mindfulness is what they
that
call
sounds...
it. And they used to sell it only to Fortune 500 companies.
Mm-hmm.
And these companies would – and if you don't have the goggles, they'll even sell you a pair of goggles.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really cool. Matter of fact, I have a spare set of goggles. If you decide to do it, that you can borrow.
Okay.
Not – I don't think they want to call them goggles, but it's a virtual reality headset.
For yeah explanation purposes.
So anyway, yeah, pretty cool. Let's take a quick phone call.
Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Okay, very good, Ronnie B. I will not try to do that. All right, what do we got?
Hi, Dr. Steve. There's a viral trend going around on an app called TikTok where guys are recording their facial reaction to dunking their balls into lemonade. And I did a quick Google on it, and it says that testicles actually have taste buds.
Bullshit.
Oh, my God.
And kind of low-key, I'd like to try this, but I would love to hear your opinion on it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, because I can't tell what that is yet.
Okay. So do this. We'll have Lady Diagnosis do this one.
I don't have balls.
Oh, okay. Damn it. So here's how you test if this is complete horseshit. Because first off, there's no taste buds. Now, there might be an ability of the scrotum, which is very thin skin, to absorb some stuff when it gets in the bloodstream that conceivably you could taste it later as it gets up into your mouth. Like, if you ever had an IV where they do like contrast.
Yeah, like an IV contrast for CT.
And then you
scan.
All of a sudden you
horrible.
Can taste it.
Oh,
yeah,
fuck,
you can
yeah,
taste
horrible.
It in your mouth.
It's
tastes like
terrible.
Iodine or something. Well, anyway.
It's fucking terrible.
So you can, that could be possible, but the nuts themselves do not have taste buds. If they did, I'd have a horrible taste in my mouth all the time because nuts are disgusting.
Well, and they're close to your
sweating.
Ass. It'd be like, taste like shit all
the
time.
Yeah, you'd have shit taste. So you know that's bullshit, but if you want to prove it to yourself, here's how you do it.
That might explain it.
Remember that when...
that explains the...
Yes.
Okay.
Really appreciate that.
Yes. Well, here's how you
going
do
forward.
It.
Go
was
ahead.
It sweet lemonade or unsweet?
I don't know.
Yeah, was it ice cold?
Because
or
if it was
hot?
Acid, you might be able to feel the difference. Right. You know, acidic stuff.
Right.
So,
but it's all sweet. There's no way.
But here's how you test it. You do a blind test, and it's got to be blinded on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a double blind test. It's going to be a little harder to do, but it's possible. And what you would have to have is like opaque bags.
Mm-hmm.
Of that have plastic bags where nobody can see. You put in one person puts soy sauce in one puts lemonade in the other, and one puts water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got three bags: water, soy sauce, and lemonade. And then they mix them up and they hand them to another person who doesn't know which one is which.
Right.
But you've written 1, 2, and 3, or A, B, and C, or whatever, some code on there. And then the third person takes that, and the first person can't have contact with either one of them after that.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't bias this thing. Then the third person takes it and then, you know, mushes it. They got to be blindfolded, and they mush the fluid onto their balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is soy sauce. This is lemonade. Now, they've got a...
1 in 3 chance anyway.
1 in 3 chance of getting right on one of them. And then once they get right on that one, it's 1 in 2 chance of being right on the second one.
Right.
So you can work out the statistics. So there's, you know, a finite chance that just by luck, they can get it right the first time.
When you get the same thing 3 times in a row, you're going to hit for sure one of them.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
yeah. Right, if they
oh,
get
wait,
the,
no, I think that's
if
they no, get, I think that one's the soy sauce.
But if they get the first two, then the third one they have to get right, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. So,
do you tell them as they go?
That's,
yes,
no. That's what I was going to ask you too. That was a good question.
So you mark down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't know that you get if you get it right or not.
No. Yeah, no, yeah. You can't. No, yeah. You can't know that. So trial number one, you write those things down. Now,
well, unless you really taste it, then you know. Right?
Well, yeah, okay,
but
we're trying to prove
it.
So I taste something, I could be lying.
Mm-hmm.
So we need them to prove it. So now, that's the first one. Now you got to do this a bunch of times so that you've got a statistically accurate sample. Because if they get it right every single time, well, now that's they're beating the odds.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to figure out what the odds are. And I should have done this before the show.
Unless they taste.
It's
exactly.
I wonder if Alexa can help. I bet she can't. Let's see. Let's put in here. What are the odds?
You're supposed to use the A word.
What are the odds of guessing three objects correctly? Let's see. Because sometimes there's like poker odds and stuff like that up there. Okay. If there were just one question, the probability of guessing correctly would be 1 in 3. That's right. Since all the answers are independent, the answer to one question has no bearing on the answer to the others. And this is the case with each question, so the chances of guessing all answers correctly are 1 in 27. But that's guessing multiple choice answers. We're trying to guess three things. So the odds, the first one's 33%. The mm-hmm. odds, the second one's 50.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd probably be, you know, half of 33%. So it'd be about 16% of the time they'll get all three right.
And I'm sorry, were they told what the three things were?
Yeah, they can be. Yeah, okay. They can be told what they are.
Okay.
Now they just don't know which one is which.
That's actually a good idea, too.
Yeah, yeah. That takes
the guessing out completely.
Well, that would be another test. Yeah. Can they tell what things are if they're not told?
Like, that's a good.
But that's hard to do. If you blindfold someone and you put mashed potatoes in their mouth, you know, or mashed carrots,
right.
They sometimes can't tell.
Uh-oh.
That's true.
Uh-oh. So we're in trouble now.
Oh, no. I hate being in trouble.
So anyway, so let's say it's 16%.
Right.
So now if they get it more often than 16% and it's statistically significant that they've gotten it more often than, because, you know, if you only do 5 trials, there's going to be some odds it'll be slightly more than 16% or less.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can say something. Well, there's something here. Now, what is it? Is it taste buds in the testicles or are they absorbing this and then they're tasting it in mm-hmm. their mouth?
Yep.
All right. Anyway.
All right.
Let's very good. Okay.
Got it.
So we got Cliff coming into the studio. And don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. And do you have the nasal spray bag? I'm getting emails complaining that there's no nasal spray on the website yet.
No.
What the
heck? You're out?
We're out of it again.
Holy hell.
What the hell, dude?
I don't know. It's just not as easy as it seems.
Can you please stop bullshitting?
What did she say?
Can you please stop bullshitting?
I mean, seriously, dude, what's going on with...
This is the time we need you.
I'm getting ready to shut down on all of it.
Are you really?
I'm quitting everything.
Why? Are you for real?
Yeah.
Are you just frustrated with it?
I'm tired of everything, yeah.
Or are you being serious? Because you're giving me that look like maybe you're not serious, that you're being funny.
No, I'm...
For real?
Stopping everything.
Why?
Yeah, I just want to.
Talk to us a little bit about...
I'm tired, that's why.
About getting into just this kind of business.
Out.
Now, I mean, you invested a lot of money in your own label. Because, you know, we have friends, you know, Shatai and Richard David Smith have their own private label of energy drink called Hyper Physics. Yeah. Hyper, F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And it's actually an awesome energy drink. It allowed me to drive 10 hours straight to Florida when the hurricane canceled our Disney flight. Mm-hmm. And I said, we're going. So we got in the car and I took two cans of Hyperphysics with me, one here and one in Columbia, South Carolina, made it all the way without it stopping.
Yeah, no,
so it's good stuff.
Yep.
But it's a tough slog trying to get something going. So tell us about it.
No, I just I'm just about over all of the effort, to be honest with you. It just takes so much effort and so much money and so much time.
So you had three main products,
three main products, and we're sold out of one. The other two are we're getting a little bit low on. I'm just getting ready to shut down the website and everything.
Hell, Mom. So I can quit. Well, one of the reasons I don't ever pay you for coming here is because you were trading, you know, plugs for being on the show. Now what the hell? I got to start paying you?
No, I come anyway.
I mean, you can't come for free.
Well, I can.
I can't say simply her balls anymore. So really, I had no idea you were that despondent about this.
No, I'm just over it.
So you are privately labeling. So talk a little bit. I'm trying to engage you to talk about. So you came up with these formulas.
That's right.
These were your own proprietary formulas for stress less, which was sort of an herbal Valium, I guess.
Yep.
And then fatigue reprieve, which was herbal speed.
Yep. It's my Elvis concoction.
Yeah. And then you had this nasal spray that is unlike any I've ever seen.
Yes.
You could probably sell those.
Well, you know, you can't, and they're proprietary blends. So I have the rights to all of them, but you know, Dr. Steve, it's just getting it produced and labeled and insured. And you know, the biggest thing is insurance.
Insurance is so
expensive
because people are going to sue
you. Malpractice, yeah.
So
just keeping it from leaching into our other business.
So how did you come up with the formula? Let's just say for fatigue reprieve, because this is like pulling fucking teeth.
No, to tell
the story.
Well,
he's tired, he said.
I know. I think it's an interesting story, though.
Yep.
So you come up with this formula.
Right. So it's based on an old Chinese formula called Chai Hu Jia Long Mu Li Wan. And what that is, it's for... Chai Hu Jong My Willy Wong, guess.
Okay.
But so I took that and I broke it down and I added a couple other ingredients to make it a little bit easier to use and easier to manufacture. And I chose the number one herbal medicine company in the world, manufacturing company. It's a pharmaceutical company out of Taiwan.
Okay.
Which is called Kaiser Pharmaceutical.
How do you get a hold of them? You just through your connections through your medical school.
That's right. Through the connections of our medical school.
Okay.
We use the Kaiser Pharmaceutical brands at our school. So
okay.
I just reached out to them and said, "How much? What's the least amount of something I could make a proprietary blend?" And they told me how much it was, and it was for a pretty significant amount of absorbed. Yeah. So,
well, you want to talk numbers?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
in
sure,
ballpark,
sure, sure,
how much
sure.
did it cost
yeah,
you to get?
It's about $40,000
per. And you had two of them, so you're talking $80,000.
Yeah, and that's just to get them made.
Oh Lord,
just to get them made. Yep.
Did you make any money off of it?
We're pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah,
okay.
we hadn't made much. Yeah, pretty flush. Yep, but it was a lot of fucking money. But that's just to get it manufactured and made through customs in the United States.
And that comes, it's coming in bulk pills. So you've got to get it into bottles.
Yeah, that's when the fun begins.
So how do you do that?
Then you have to find a manufacturer in the United States that's FDA approved, Kaiser's FDA approved pharmaceutical company. And it's really incredible the amount of, for any kind of legitimate medicine, supplement, whatever, the tracking on all these things is significant
as far as having
safety data sheets.
It's like evidence.
It's evidence, exactly what it is. So
you have to have somebody sign off so that there's never a moment where this stuff is leaving the chain of possession.
Yep. It comes into the pharmaceutical company. They receive it. The packaging company actually receives it, and they quarantine it.
Yeah.
They quarantine it and test it. And then once they agree to package it, then they package it. And then they... another shipping thing.
Oh my
God. How long does that process, everything you just said, how long does that take?
Took about a year.
So you got $80,000 in and it's sitting there for a year. Your money's not doing anything for you.
Zero. And then you start spending money on advertising and travel and pitching.
Yeah, I remember you were doing all that.
Because, we went to some trade shows and things there for a while. And so, it was a lot of fun, but I'm just, tired. Yeah.
So something as simple as running out, it's not as easy as, I'll just buy another case because that case could be like, $40,000 or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so the thing is, you that's exactly right. The least amount you could re-up for would be $40,000.
So you needed to make 80 or 160 to be able to then turn around and go, I'm going to throw another 40 after.
Yeah, 160 because
if you're barely breaking even, there's no.
Yeah, what people don't understand too is just something as simple as the bottles. Manufacture of the bottles, manufacturing the labels, you have to pay for the labels, the pressing of these labels. You have your own.
And they
got
to do it in a special place too, right?
Not just
you can't just go to a UPS store and say, print me up a bunch of labels. I had a friend that was in a printing business and they quarantined that part of his business when he was doing he was printing the package inserts.
Yep.
Yeah, it was like a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And then you know you start talking about the labels and the dates and all of these things, you know, because FDA requires you to put expiration dates on there.
Yeah.
And even though we all know that most things are good way beyond their expiration dates, you know, if you put on the wrong dates, and you know, it's like shit, man. I think our labels are done at the end of this year, so I'm just back.
So when you do your next run, now you have to throw all those labels away. Yeah. Oh my god,
wow,
it's horrible. Yeah, it's and it would be okay. You know, the thing is, I had with the Simply Herbals thing, the reason it didn't truly take off is just because I didn't have enough money to do the marketing.
You're undercapitalized for marketing.
Yeah, because I actually talked to the guys at the Hudson News Group. You know, Hudson News is huge.
In the airports and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And I talked to the vice president of Hudson News for the as far as their sales locations, and he just said, he goes, you know, we love the product. The problem is you don't have any history.
Yeah.
You know, and to displace.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah. To it displace, you know, an M&M or a, you know, or a, you know, Coca-Cola or something like that there by the cash register because it's a point of sale purchase.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of juice.
I'm sure they were afraid that if they committed and then you couldn't keep up with the supply and all that shit too.
And then they're like, you know, what happens, you know, if all of a sudden we sell out, then how quickly can you get us another batch? Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
well, how quickly can't you?
3 months. Three months.
Man.
3 months from when I
So you have to keep throwing money after it.
Yep.
To anticipate that.
Yep.
And then
yep.
Yeah, and then if it doesn't take off, you're sitting on. Oh God, that's awful.
Yeah, it was chasing.
This is a game for millionaires.
It is. It
not
really
for
is. Not for
you
some,
and me.
No, not for some dumbass hillbilly like.
So you really are giving it up?
Yep. Yeah.
Even the nasal spray.
Nasal sprays and all.
All right. Should I just take this off of the prep sheet then? Simplyherbals.net, or do you need help getting rid of what you got left?
Yeah, I'd like to at least through the next 6 months. Well,
everybody help old poor Dr. Scott out. We'll go to simplyherbals.net.
So you think you got 6 months left then?
Well, I have about 9-10 months left on the labels.
I got you.
Yeah, and I have enough to get us through then. So,
do you think there's anything that could change your mind?
Yes.
So, could somebody buy you out?
Yeah, somebody could buy us out. Yeah.
Are you looking at that?
Okay.
No, I would love I would love to. I haven't looked at it at as far as recruiting someone or actively pursuing someone to buy us out. But I would love for someone just to say,
well, we're putting it out there, business for sale.
That's right. Hey, listen, I'll be more than happy to negotiate. I have lots of formulas, you know, and I had the those guys were also interested in a couple of my other formulas, and Dr. Steve knows. He's tried the one version of it, which is that sinus formula, which is what we take for sinus inflammation. And in fact, allergies is wonderful.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sinus, got an article. Now, this is from January 24th. This is actually 6 days ago for us, so this will be it'll be almost 10 days from when people hear this. Let me see what you can find. If you can find on influenza. Where we are, you might just look influenza CDC, but you know, influenza declined the first 2 weeks of the year, but then activity jumped in the week ending of January 18th. And this was what you're looking for is flu view. It's all one word, CDC. And anybody out there can do the same thing. Just look for flu view CDC. CDC estimates flu has caused 15 million illnesses, 140,000 hospitalizations, and 8,200 deaths this season.
Oh, my.
8,000? Yep. 8, holy mother.
And that's not the coronavirus.
No, that's not corona. We're talking about flu.
Wow.
You know, more than half of the positive flu tests confirmed in public health laboratories occurred in Americans under age 25. So this strain that's coming through may be something that people my age have been exposed to. This happened once before when the swine flu came through. There was a swine flu epidemic, if I remember correctly, in the 70s. Mm. So unlike normal years where you've got the elderly that are at risk, we were all like, hey, we're fine, you know, because we had been exposed to this virus before. And it was all young people.
Oh, man.
So only 12% involved adults age 65 and older. The trend has led to high levels of outpatient cases and lower levels of flu-related hospitalizations. So we're actually having a low hospitalization year with 140,000 hospitalizations.
That's nuts.
You know, so this flu is no BS.
No.
You know, ask Richard David Smith, the owner of Hyperphysics. He's when people start coming at me with this, well, flu's no big deal. I'm not getting a flu shot. You know, you can get. I send them after him because he survived, but just barely. You know, he ended up on the vent with influenza that year, and he's been really good. Because I just say, you know, I tag him. Hey, what sayeth thou, RDS, whatever his Twitter handle is, and he'll weigh in because, you know, he said the same thing until that year, and now he's been quite the proponent of the influenza vaccine ever since then. And we've had people die that were listening, people that called into this show.
But everyone that's gotten their flu virus shot has still gotten the flu.
No, not necessarily. And what the flu vaccine does is it decreases the incidence. It's not 100%. When we have the universal flu vaccine, we'll start approaching those numbers. But it may be anywhere as low as 6% or as high as 60%. But it rarely gets above that. And that'd be the other thing to look up, Scott, is flu vaccine efficacy 2019-2020 year.
Because just talking to people I've talked to who have not had the flu, I've asked them, have you had the flu shot? And every one of them has said no, the ones who've not had the flu yet.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Let's say that again.
The people that I talk to, I say, have you had the flu yet? And they say no. I said, did you get the flu vaccine? And they say no.
So from what conclusion do you draw from that? Because this is a very interesting conversation.
But I'm just saying it's odd. A lot of people who've gotten the flu vaccine have also had the flu.
Okay.
But everyone I've talked to who's not had the flu has also not had the vaccine.
So this is called selection bias.
But it's just people I've talked to.
There's 350 million people in this country.
Right.
15 million have gotten it. So let's find out what the percentage is. Echo, what's 15 divided by 350?
15 divided by 350 is 0.0429.
So that's 0.4%. Is that right? Okay. Echo, what's the percentage of 15 divided by 350? I didn't ask that.
15
right.
is 4.286% of 350.
Okay, so it's 4%. So that means 96% haven't gotten it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 96% of the people that you talk to will not have had influenza. And of that bunch, there's been probably a lot of them have not had their influenza vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is look at the aggregate numbers. So the question is, of these 140,000 hospitalizations, how many of those had their influenza vaccine versus didn't compared to people who never got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other way you can look at it is, of all the people that were vaccinated, what is the percentage of those that ended up in the hospital compared to people who ended up in the hospital that were not vaccinated?
Correct.
So what the vaccine does, and it, did you find out any answers, Scott?
Well, yes, kind of.
He's so laid back, he's 10 feet away from the microphone.
Well, I'm trying to see the standard screen. It's either the screen is small or my eyes are old. I'm not sure which is which. Yeah, but what they're saying is it's been much more effective as far as the death rate.
Yeah, did it give a number?
That's what I'm trying to find. But okay, especially on two of the strands, it actually worked extremely well.
Okay, so if you – like that year – I was 60, I guess, when I got influenza. I had had the flu vaccine and the flu mist. I'd been exposed to it. And I still got influenza, but I'm 60, supposedly at increased risk, had a fever of 105, just sailed right through it. Mm-hmm. So what it is supposed to do is, yes, help prevent illness, but also decrease your risk of dying or going to the hospital. And so your evidence is interesting, but it's not actually evidence.
No, I was just playing the devil's advocate.
No, I know.
I'm just stating what I have noticed.
Yes, of course. Of course. But my job is to point out that that's not evidence.
Right. That's true.
And that's the kind of stuff where people say, well, I got my flu shot on Thursday and I got the flu on Friday. So, you can never convince them that it didn't cause them to have the flu. But those people got exposed on Monday.
Right.
They got their flu shot on Thursday. They were going to get it on Friday, and they got it on Friday because the vaccine didn't have enough time to prevent it. And you will never be able to convince them that the flu shot didn't cause their flu.
True.
Even though it's impossible. You can't get the influenza vaccine, at least the shot, was never live virus. It's proteins that were grown and were never, ever part of a live virus. So you can't get, something that's not full, got the full DNA. That's the thing that does it. It's not the proteins that we're making a vaccine against. It's the DNA inside the virus that causes the infection. Did you find something, Scott?
Yeah, really interesting. There's a graph on the CDC that shows the seasonal efficaciousness of the flu vaccines going back to 2009-10.
Yeah, good.
So here's what's kind of bizarre. Back in 9 and 10, efficaciousness was 56%. And then 60 after that, and since then it's been kind of going downhill, this year is right now about 29%.
Well,
or last year, the 18-19 was 29% effective, which is interesting because the trend has been slowly going downhill.
Yeah, it's interesting.
The worst, least effective was in 2014.
It was like 6%, right? Oh, was it 15? I thought there was one year where it was like 6%.
Dr. Steele, I'm sorry. The percentage is 19%, but I'm saying the year is 14-15.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
That's alarming.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Still, though, the people that got that were less likely to die and less likely to go to the hospital, but they still got the illness.
So as long as it doesn't hurt you in any way.
Well, okay. So
the vaccine.
The vaccine can hurt you. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. Would you wear your seat belts if I told you that there was a 1 in 3 chance of the seatbelt hurting you if you wear it? In other words, if you're wearing it, you're more likely to die, one time out of three. Would you wear your seatbelt in a wreck?
I'd still wear my seatbelt.
Okay.
Because
you know that there's a – okay, so there's a let me give you this. This is a better scenario. If you wear your seatbelt, and this will prevent deaths from – being cast from the car. So let's say if you don't wear your seatbelt, you have a 50% chance if you're thrown from the car of dying, okay? But if you wear it, you got a 1 in 4 chance of dying because you were worn it and you were trapped in the car. Mm-hmm. Would you wear your seatbelt in that situation?
No.
No, even though we just decreased your risk of dying by 50%.
Yeah.
Okay, because why? Why? What's your thinking? Because
my worst fear would be either burning in the car or drowning.
I understand.
I would rather be thrown from the car.
Now, what if, because it's quicker,
but
is that what you're saying?
But the chances are still pretty minimal. But
That's right. Overall.
Yes, correct.
But if you get in that wreck, you got a 1 in 2 chance if you're not wearing a seatbelt, 1 in 4 if you are. Mm-hmm. Now, what if I told you that it's a 1 in 2 chance of dying if you don't wear your seatbelt and you get thrown from the car, but it's a 1 in 1,000,000 chance of dying if you are wearing the seatbelt? Now, do you wear your seatbelt or do you not?
Well, I do because my car dings until I put it on.
Okay, I'll be the car dinging, telling you you need to get a vaccine, but I'll just bug you. But does that change the equation for you? Instead of 1 in 4 now, instead of decreasing your risk by 50% by wearing your seatbelt, you're decreasing your risk by 1,000,000.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the situation with these vaccines. There might be about a 1 in 1,000,000 chance of getting Guillain-Barré syndrome, which, by the way, you can survive. I've had patients. It's called ascending neuritis, and it goes up your legs, and they get weaker and weaker. And if it gets up to your respiratory muscles, that's why it's called ascending, because it actually ascends in the body. Mm-hmm. Then you can't breathe. You got to be put on the ventilator. But properly managed, a lot of those folks will survive.
Yes.
But people say, yes, the vaccine can cause that. You know what else can cause Guillain-Barré? Flu. So when we had that swine flu epidemic, there were a lot of people who got the flu who got Guillain-Barré syndrome. So it's not necessarily just the vaccine that causes it. It's being exposed to those proteins.
Right.
So those people would have gotten it if they got the flu anyway. Mm. They likely would have gotten Guillain-Barré if they hadn't died from the influenza itself.
Wow.
So it's a game of mitigating risk. There's everything we do, there is some risk associated with it. And then you have to decide, well, because a lot of people think the same way that you do, that I'm going to protect against the more remote risk, even though there's a real present danger. And psychologists have looked at this, and evolutionary psychologists feel that some of this comes from the idea that when you're a cave person and there's a saber-toothed tigers are around and they eat you, that the ones that would jump up in the tree whenever they saw the wind, you know, just the grass moving, even if it was the wind, because they were scared.
Just in case.
Because that's the more remote thing, that there may have been some survival instinct in that situation because, you know, one time out of 1,000, maybe it really was a saber-toothed tiger. And if you were one of those people that genetically was just like chill, you're more likely to get eaten. And over generation after generation, so it'd be, what, 50,000 or, you know, 20,000 generations, that behavior is, you know, if it was genetically driven, is amplified to the point where you've got people that now are taking are opting for the more remote risk, even though there's a more present danger in front of them.
So what we need to do is start arming saber-toothed tigers, or, well, I guess the modern equivalent, some lions or something. Give them a flu, let them loose in Central Park. That kind of,
I guess. I don't know.
I can see that's where you're
going. I'm going to have to think about that. That doesn't follow to me, but perhaps.
No.
It's very odd. So anyway, but yeah. So, and that's when we see humans are horribly bad at sort of gut-shotting statistics, and we're really bad at measuring circumference too. So, Cliff, if you have let's say a penis, and it is 2 inches in diameter, without doing the math, what would you think the circumference of that penis would be?
It would, to me,
no,
like...
it's like this. So what would the circumference be?
Oh, man, 2 inches?
Yeah, exactly. See, we're terrible at this.
Man.
And we're good at judging distances. Mm. How far away from Dr. Scott are you right now?
Oh, I'm about 3 feet.
There you go. See, we're really good at that. Mm. And you know what? But judging the circumference of a tree, we need math for that.
Mm.
You know, it's pi r squared.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's 2 inches, so the radius would be, so the diameter, so it'd be 3.1 inches around. So you weren't that far off. But, you know, if we have somebody with a slightly thicker penis, they'll notoriously underestimate the circumference. You know, they're like surprised when it's like 6 inches around. pi r squared, that's not right. It's pi d. So it actually would be 6 inches. 2-inch penis has a 6-inch circumference. That seems insane to us.
Yeah.
Now, why is that? Because there was no evolutionary advantage in judging how the circumference of a saber-toothed tiger's neck or a tree, but knowing how far away they were and being able to judge
big
that
difference.
Was very important
right.
to knowing if you could get away from them.
Big
you
difference.
Know? So it's interesting. Yeah, you know, pi r squared would be the surface area of a cross section of the penis. If I chopped your penis off
and made a table of it,
and then right, and made a table out of it, and then we'd want to know what the surface area of the flat part after I chopped it off.
Right.
So it's gruesome, but yeah, that's math. You know, math doesn't care about your penis. So. All right.
Well, to, I mean, yeah.
I hate math.
I hate math too.
Did you find anything else?
No, I was actually reading about Guillain-Barré, you know, the extremely rare. And they said that the Guillain-Barré incidence of diagnosing Guillain-Barré on a weekly basis doesn't change throughout flu season.
That's interesting.
It's 80 to 160 per week throughout, you know, for the United States.
Is that right?
Yeah, 80 to 160 per
week.
So
there's no increase.
Nominal.
During flu vaccination
nominal.
Season.
Nominal.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you increase the risk if greater than 50. But that was really the only...
And that's a source of bias, too. You say, well, Guillain-Barré is associated with influenza. So if someone gets a sporadic case of Guillain-Barré and they got the flu shot, you're going to link the two.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that whether
not
they're
be,
linked or not. That's
not
interesting.
Yep.
2019 novel coronavirus, also known as 2019 nCoV, but that's what that stands for, is novel coronavirus. Novel just means that it's new. It's one we haven't seen before. CDC is closely monitoring outbreak of that. As of 1/29/2020, which was yesterday. For us, there were 5 positive cases in the United States, 68 that were tested and were negative, but there's 92 that are pending.
Oh, wow.
So that's just symptoms like a cold.
Right, that's right. And they've been there testing, and maybe they came in contact with someone that had the Wuhan virus, or they came from Wuhan, and they're still investigating them. Now, it turns out that they think that the incubation time is about two weeks.
So that gives you
that's not good.
Of time.
So you have
exactly.
a bunch of people who could be asymptomatic carriers. That's the worst case scenario in a situation like that, where you've got people walking around with no symptoms that are giving you the virus. Now, presumably, they don't start shedding virus day one that they're exposed. So when is it? Is it at day 5 and they still don't have symptoms, but now they're shedding virus? Or is it day 13 before, you know, they turn positive, before they start having symptoms? We don't know the answer to that yet.
Exactly the opposite of the Ebola. You know, guys get that and they get sick quickly.
Right. Or, and like mono is 60 days.
Yeah.
So you take, you know, you get exposed to mono, 60 days, you get mono. So so you're walking around shedding virus at some point during that time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't even know you're really ill yet.
So what that means is it's going to be
a whole lot more difficult to control, right?
Well,
hey, can I call you
too.
In 20 minutes?
Yeah. So if you feel like you have a cold, how long is it just acting like a cold before it starts acting in like the coronavirus? What's the difference? How do you know?
Great question.
Well, that's a great question. So when you know that you've maybe been exposed or you could have been exposed, any influenza-like illness, because it starts off as an influenza-type thing and then turns into a lower respiratory tract viral pneumonia. That's what does the damage.
Oh, okay.
And so they're going to be testing people for this.
So it probably starts like every other type of virus, with body aches,
fever,
and pains.
Aches and pains and all that stuff. And then it just turns into hail.
Lung shit. Yeah, it's terrible.
And not in everybody, obviously, like every other virus. Mm-hmm. You know, it's some people get affected worse than others. So in about 2 weeks, we will know something. And in 6 weeks, we'll really know. Because 3 incubation periods, we'll know if we're looking at an epidemic or a pandemic, or if it's just something that's like SARS that was bad, but wasn't as easily transmitted, or like MERS, you know, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, doesn't look like it's real easy to transmit it because there have been relatively few cases of it.
But
I'm not an expert on this stuff. We could get a virologist on here if we need one down the road. Go ahead, Lady Diagnosis.
Well, I've also heard that the only thing you can really do for it once you realize you have it is rest. Is there something else what the CDC had.
Right. So we don't have a medication that's specific for it like we do for influenza. Mm-hmm. Influenza, we have Xofluza now. Mm-hmm. We have Relenza, which is the inhaled antiviral, which I'm partial to. And I've always used that because you don't get the nausea and vomiting that some people get with Tamiflu when you inhale it. And it's going into your lungs, so you feel like you're doing something, mm-hmm. you know. So I really like the Relenza. Pharmacists out there, you guys should be stocking this stuff. It's awesome. And then the Tamiflu. So we've got those three for influenza. We don't have anything for coronavirus yet, but they're working on it. They think that they'll have a vaccine ready for trials in April, which won't help anybody that's getting it right now. But it, if this becomes a big deal, they'll go around vaccinating people. And it should help stop it. But that's trials. We won't have it ready to give to people until maybe June or July. So if you get it and you get the lower respiratory thing, then the only thing that can do is support your body until your body heals. So if your breathing gets so bad that you can't get oxygen into your bloodstream, they'll have to put you on a ventilator. And there are medications that they might use. They might use steroids. They might not. Depends on whether steroids make people better or worse in this situation. And medications to enhance airflow into the lungs, like albuterol. Yeah. And things like that. You know, things that they use for asthma.
Yeah, typical things we would normally fight a viral infection with.
That's right.
They're probably going to try those first.
Yeah. Yeah, because really, there's just a few common pathways that these things can go down when they cause all this inflammation in your lungs. You know, you just get a viral pneumonia, and this treatment is basically the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, yeah.
It's not like Ebola, where now you're just hemorrhaging out of every orifice, and right. now you got to deal with that too. So, all right. So hopefully, we'll know something very soon. And just, you know, excellent hand washing. If it turns out this thing is easily transmitted with droplets, then we're going to look like Asia really quickly with the face masks. And, you know, people like to make fun of those pictures. It's not funny.
No.
And it won't be funny if it's droplet, easily transmitted through droplets, because we'll all be wearing masks coming very soon. Matter of fact, Dr. Scott, now that might be something we could invest in.
Masks.
We could have like weird medicine masks.
There you go. I like that.
You know?
That'll be all right.
Yeah.
But maybe some...
Because in Taiwan, there was like, you had to wait an hour and a half just to get a face mask. So stock up now. Hell, you can buy them on Amazon. Just, you know, if you think you might need them, just buy them now.
We need some like masks with like some Groucho Marx kind of glasses or something. Something or just, make it kind of cool.
Yeah. Or like a lamp. Or
nasty teeth on the painted on
yeah,
the
yeah, 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 yeah. Like those redneck teeth that you can buy.
There we go.
Or a lamprey mouth so they just look creepy.
Oh, man, yes.
Like the salt monster in the first episode of Star Trek.
I like it.
Yeah. So there you go. Hey, so some good news. Let's do some good news.
Yes.
Dave Cecil has a new song. And the reason I am saying this is good news is I won't have to hear this effing song again for a while. Dave will laugh. I love this song. It's in a different sort of vein than the things
that
he's done.
Very different for him.
And I think that it would be good for that Moonshiners show. So if anybody knows anybody at Discovery Channel, this needs to be the Moonshiners theme song.
How hard can it be for us? Hell, all we've got to do is drive down the street and we'll be right there where they have all those boys
we've
at.
We've got to know somebody.
I mean, shit fire.
Yeah.
I think we can handle it.
But anyway, it's a song about a guy running moonshine in the back country. And this was done in a bunch of different stages. I thought Dave was just going to come up and play his guitar and sing a little song. I was going to do a demo for him. This thing ended up being a 2-month project.
Mm-hmm.
It has me on the bass, and don't judge me. I'm not happy with the bass line on this, and I'm going to redo it before it's done. This is just a demo, though.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a guy, a local guy that does a lot of the dobro around here to do the dobro.
It's beautiful, too. It sounds great.
Wiley Sykes out of Greensboro, who's with the Greensboro Symphony, did the drums in another studio.
Oh, okay.
And then they sent me those tracks. I wouldn't have mic'd the drums the way this guy did, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's different. He probably wouldn't have mic'd the guitar and stuff the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very proud of this because it came out of the Weird Medicine studio, and it's sort of our first proof of concept that this studio can do some quality stuff. Quality demos, anyway. I wouldn't say it's CD quality, But anyway, so here it is. This is Dave's new song, and he's a friend of the show, and he needs to be famous. And this is called Running That Shine.
Tick of the clock means a dime. It don't matter if they say I'm wanted to find. When I cross that borderline, running that shine. My plate, breaking his laws, it's me he does hate. He sets up them roadblocks day after day. Vows he will catch me, but I'm miles away. As I'm running these back roads on time, with each tick of the clock means a dime. It don't matter if they say I'm wanted to find. When I cross that borderline, running that shine. Wanna change my way from bad to good. Start living, man, way that I should. One night came the fight, sheriff on my tail. 125 per hour, hear me, don't fail. Winding these back roads like a fugitive does. Sheriff's a cussing, cause he's eating my dust. And I'm running. With each tick of the clock means a dime. It don't matter if they say I'm wanted to find. When I cross that borderline, running that shine. Sheriff keeps losing me deep in the eyes. Public enemy number one, cause I'm running that shine.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yay, Dave. So he's entering that in some songwriting contest along with a bunch of his other stuff. But I was very proud of that, but it was blood, sweat, and tears. That took... It was a 2-month project, and it's all those vocal. It just sounds like, you know, he sat there and sang one time through. Mm-hmm. Each one of those is a little piece on a different track, and we had to meld them all together and painstakingly take those dobro, like those real high-pitched dobro sounds at the end. Those were from a different part of the song altogether, and they just didn't sound right there, so we took them and
moved them over.
Crazy. So, but anyway, yeah, congratulations.
Good stuff.
He's a good feller, that old Dave Cecil is. If you want to check him out, go to DaveRayCecil.com, where you can book him for all kinds of stuff. And he was on with Gunnar Esiason when we had Gunnar on.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah, that other song that was really good.
Yeah. He's awesome. So, Cliff, you want to talk about? I mean, we've got 8 minutes left. We haven't answered a single. We've answered burning questions that people have
right.
out there, particularly about influenza and coronavirus. That's what's really on people's minds.
Yes, it is.
So you're looking for a new job, right?
I am. I've been looking into government law enforcement type jobs.
Wow.
I'll just say that, but. They have some pretty strict requirements. I'll just say that much.
Yeah.
I could do that. I watch NCIS. And I always know who did it. Always.
Oh, you do?
Always. First couple minutes.
Yeah.
I know who did it.
And I could see her shooting some people, too. Mm. She beat them down and she tased them a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they looked guilty,
I just went ahead and tased them.
I just knew you were guilty.
One in a million chance you're guilty, and then she'd just shoot them because, you know, that's how Diane thinks. The whole one in a million.
Next.
Labels.
Any of you mofos will try me?
I watch TV. I'd be good at being an FBI.
Son of bitches. I'll shoot all of you.
I watch a lot of Law & Order, and I don't know, every time the FBI shows up, they're always like the, oh, man, they're badass.
Yeah.
And they always solve the crime.
Have you ever watched Dog Day Afternoon?
They never get hurt.
I have not.
Okay, so Dog Day Afternoon, the only thing I remember, that I can say about you need to watch it, but when the FBI shows up, everything changes. You know, it was all fun and games
She gets real when the FBI.
Yeah.
You remember, we have a great friend down in Houston that listens to the show regularly. That came and visited.
What a coincidence!
Oh, look. Actually, he came up and met me.
Tacy, you're on Weird Medicine. What was that noise?
Yes, he came up. He came up back to Diane and I. Diane,
she saw you all come in.
Oh, pull in. Yeah, I even said hi to her.
Yeah. I spoke to her.
Yeah.
How can that be?
Considering all of our cars are still in the driveway.
Yes,
and nobody's coming.
But somehow she doesn't know.
It's a conspiracy.
She says she doesn't, but it's just too. Now
she doesn't want you to forget about her.
No, I don't want to ever forget about her. She's a gooder.
She's swell.
Yeah, but we do. We have friends. You know, like I said, and he's been up. Actually, remember he brought us those FBI medallions up here one time to the show. Yeah, he's a super nice guy.
Right.
I've got his contact. I've got his number on my phone. He's a good dude.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
We'll hook you up.
Well, Cliff didn't say he was going to do the FBI. It's government law.
But you never know.
You can do that or.
Keeping the options.
I'll give you a letter of recommendation. Like, that'll be any good.
I appreciate it. No, you're a doctor. I'm the
editor in chief of a national medical journal. That might not hurt any.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go.
I'm captain of Team Awesome. So that's got to have something
Hell
to do with
yeah.
something.
I watch a lot of NCIS.
I really need your recommendation.
You got it, Cliff.
They'll be like, who is this damn poor clown?
I watch a lot of TV, and I think Cliff will be pretty good.
Hey, real good.
He's a real fart smeller. I mean, smart failer.
Now, what I do on the weekends is no one's business.
All right. Let's see what we got.
Enough.
Let me see if I... Oh, and here's a... Okay, we have to do some other good news because we talked about some horrible things today. Mm-hmm. This is from the United Kingdom. Immune cell that kills most cancers discovered by accident by British scientists. Now... People go, well, accident. Well, a lot of scientific advancements came as an accident. The invention of plastic was an accident. Mm-hmm. You know, you mix two chemicals together, sit them there for a little while, and come back the next day, and it's dunk, 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 dunk. You know, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So researchers at Cardiff University were analyzing blood from a bank in Wales looking for – now, this would be a blood bank, not, you know
– Not savings and loans.
There was a shooting.
Diane knew that. She knew that already before you even finished the sentence.
I bet there was a shooting.
I knew.
Someone was murdered in the bank.
This credit union has That's a lot of bank blood on the wall. That's weird.
Looking for immune cells that could fight bacteria when they found an entirely new type of T cell. So we've talked before on the show that cancer is an the problem with cancer is a problem with the immune system, where it just doesn't notice that these abnormal cells are growing. Mm. So in laboratory studies, immune cells equipped with the new receptor were shown to kill lung, skin, blood, colon, breast, bone, prostate, ovarian, kidney, and cervical cancer. Now, show me that they put normal lung, skin, blood, colon, breast, bone, prostate, ovarian, kidney, and cervical cells in there, and they just walked on by. Mm-hmm. Now we've got something. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that they did. Oh, shit, and I have to subscribe to see the rest of this.
Uh-oh. Anyway, oh,
Scott, see if you can find that article.
I don't care about it.
Anyway, so this is a good advancement. It doesn't really matter. We already know what it's going to say. Is they've done this in the laboratory. Now we got to look at some clinical trials. Well, speaking of clinical trials that are coming, y'all familiar with Duchenne muscular dystrophy? It's what, you know, Jerry's kids and all that stuff. It's a horrible, debilitating disease that, you know, robs your muscles of their ability to do their work. They just cured it in a pig using genetic editing.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How wonderful would that be?
Give yourself a bill.
That's cool.
See if you can find that story, Scott.
That's amazing.
Hell, I'm just finding.
Don't worry about that.
The immune discovery one.
Duchenne pig.
You know they had the young man that's the guy that does the commercials for the Jerry's Kids. And man, he was just the sweetest kid. I think he was on 60 Minutes or something. I saw a couple weeks ago. Just a brilliant kid.
Yeah. Well, there's Scott. Yeah. Well, I watch TV, and thank you.
Hey, yeah.
Duchenne muscular dystrophy is one of the most common and most devastating muscular diseases, greatly reducing patients' quality of life and life expectancy. This is from an article in New Atlas. This is where I first saw it. Now, researchers in Germany have managed to use the CRISPR gene editing tool to correct the condition in pigs, bringing the treatment ever closer to human trial. Can you imagine? You know, when we had Gunnar Esiason on, we were talking about cystic fibrosis, which is also a genetic disorder. If they can start without causing I Am Legend to happen, to correct just the genetic thing and nothing else, and cure people of cystic fibrosis, maybe even in utero before they're born, or people who are prone to Duchenne muscular dystrophy or who already have it, and start to reverse it. How incredible. What a world we will have.
That would be amazing.
We have got to calm the F down, stop fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have more in common than we don't. Cut the shit, and let's not blow each other ourselves up, and we will have a really cool Star Trek-level world in a few generations if we can accomplish some of these things.
Hell yeah.
So, cut the shit. All right?
Not excited about the Romulans showing up, but...
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Aliens. Well, thanks always go to Dr. Scott. We can't forget Rob Sprance, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, Louis Johnson, Paul Obcharski, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, whose early support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Let's throw Chris Stanley in there, too. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners, whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.